Welcome to the Prioritizing Prevention, Translating Science to Practice podcast. Our goal is to prioritize prevention conversations that matter. Our topic for today is localizing SAMHSA's Talk They Hear You campaign with special guest, Carrie McKee. Now here's today's host, Leslie Hoyleman.
Hello, and welcome to episode 12 of season 2 on Prioritizing Prevention, Translating Science to Practice. This podcast is hosted by the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion. I'm your guest host today. My name is Leslie Hoyleman, and I am honored to serve Ohio as a project manager with the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion and the Partnership for Community-Based Prevention at the Voinovich School for Leadership and Public Service. In this episode, we're going to be discussing Talk They Hear You, an effective national youth substance use prevention campaign created in 2013 by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, also known as SAMHSA. The goals of Talk They Hear You are to raise awareness of the prevalence and risks of underage drinking and substance use, provide caring adults with the knowledge, skills, and confidence needed to address these issues, and encourage proactive actions to prevent underage drinking and substance misuse. In discussing the implementation of the Talk They Hear You campaign, it's really important that we hear experiences from someone who is actively implementing this strategy on a regular basis. To provide this insight, we are joined by Carrie McKee. Carrie currently serves as a certified prevention specialist at McKinley Hall and oversees the Clark County Partners in Prevention Coalition, a drug-free communities coalition. Carrie graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree from Miami University and a master's degree from Wright State University. And after 30 years of teaching, Carrie retired in 2010. However, her passion in prevention led her to coalition work in 2014, and she has been working with coalition members to provide training, resources, and evidence-based interventions like the Talk They Hear You campaign throughout Clark County. Welcome to the podcast, Carrie.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you for being here. I'm so excited that we get to have this conversation today.
I'm excited also.
So to get us started, our listeners really enjoy getting to know our guests beyond their bio that I read. So we always hold some time at the beginning of the show where you can share with our listeners something about who you are beyond your bio. Maybe a little bit about what your work looks like on the daily or which part of your work you enjoy the most, or even a little nugget about who you are as a person.
So, well, again, Leslie, thank you for the introduction. And as you said, I am a retired school teacher. Really enjoyed working with youth. I taught in a traditional high school and also in a vocational high school, home economics and culinary arts. So, and I've always done the extracurriculars with students, whether it was coaching or advising a team or a youth group or something like that. So that's a little bit extra about me. As far as my daily job, it's never the same. It's always different. Making a lot of connections and networking throughout the community, finding services for different agencies, connecting those agencies together, constantly sharing information, education, sometimes teaching, sometimes working with community leaders, trying to enforce policy change. It's constant. Every day there's something different and it's ongoing and never seems to be a day where you catch up.
I could definitely relate to that. And I love how you've been so passionate working with youth throughout your teaching career. And then that has just continued to move forward in kind of your second career, I guess you could say, right? In coalition work. So, and I know that you are so passionate about prevention and that you are a driving force in Clark County. And so we just want to thank you so much for all of your service that you've done to your community.
Well, thank you.
And speaking of community challenges, and recognizing, of course, that each community faces distinct challenges related to youth substance use, would you talk a little bit about the specific challenges that Clark County faces?
Of course. When we first started out as a coalition, we followed the CATCA strategies and we did our data collection. And as doing data collection, we found out that our community members really didn't know a lot about substance use among youth in our community. And they didn't think it was a real problem. We actually did the tri-ethnic community survey, and that gave us some factual data that the members of our community and the leadership thought it might be a problem, but they were very vague about it, didn't think it was specifically maybe a problem that needed to be addressed at this time. And maybe it was happening with the neighbors down the street, but it wasn't happening with their youth. So that's kind of where we started and why we adopted the program originally, is because we needed something to get the message out to parents that they needed to start talking to their youth about substances, because we were above the state average in all substance use that we were collecting data on among our youth. So we knew we specifically had to do something. And this was the first campaign that we found that actually addressed all those issues.
I love your answer for that, that you use the data and the information from the assessments to really drive your decision to implement the Talk the Hear You campaign in the community. What were some of the initial steps that the coalition took to introduce it to the community?
The first steps where we had to decide how we could get the most out of what resources that we had. So we had to decide where we could reach the most people and getting that message out. And we used things like billboards, movie theater ads. It was really nice that we had a collaboration with our Clark County Parks and Recreation, National Trails Parks and Recreation, because they actually let us put banners up at places that were high intensity people viewing, like the baseball parks where youth were playing ball, the soccer fields, the swimming pool. They sent out a community resource guide to everybody in Clark County, so we were able to get ads in that. And to this day, we continue to have that partnership and still get those ads out every season that the activity guide goes out, which is 4 times a year. So we just decided at first that we wanted to reach as many people as possible, and those were some ways to get that message out. Then we just continued to use it constantly with everything we did. That Talk They Hear You message was somewhere in our literature.
That's amazing. And that's amazing that you were able to build those partnerships with a local Parks and Rec that's really creative to think outside the box about who to connect with, right? Who better to connect with, because you have youth participating in activities, and oftentimes their parents or caregivers are right there with them, you know, at the baseball diamonds, at the swimming pools, to be able to get that messaging first and foremost in front of those parents. I also know that you implemented, I believe, some messaging in the summer at the fair, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We would put our banners up at the fair also. And it was really nice that we had a billboard up, two of them, right as you were coming into the fair and as you were leaving the fair. And so that was probably one of the first times that we really had the opportunity to speak to individuals one-on-one. And then at the fair, we also did a parent survey. So we were able to document who was seeing our survey, because one of the questions on the survey from our parents are you aware of the Talk They Hear You campaign? So that helped us collect data also on, are we reaching our parents? And lots of materials that we handed out at the fair had the Talk They Hear You little emblem on it, whether it was the pop socket, journals, there were all kinds of things we were handing out that had that logo on it also.
That's fantastic. And so some of the key strategies that you've used to tailor the campaign to meet the specific needs of the community, can you kind of go into a little bit about how you've tailored the campaign in regards to working with schools?
Absolutely. That was our next step, working with the schools individually. And there were specific schools that we already had connections with that we wanted to build activities that we were doing in their schools and along, or maybe services, as we were working with the schools, they wanted certain supplies, and we were able to provide those supplies if we put the Talk They Hear You message on it. And a couple examples in particular. The first one was at Greenan High School, which we were able to work with them in-depthly with different things. They were hosting activities outdoors with their track team or maybe events outside. And so tents were made with the Talk They Hear You logo on them, along with the Greenan logo, so they could take that tent to their track meets, their cross-country meets, baseball games, and that Talk They Hear You message was always there. Greenan went a step further in that we hosted a couple of events there, and they wanted some t-shirts for those events, so we put the Talk They Hear You message on their t-shirts for those that attended. We also, in their gym, had seats that were the seats for the basketball team that the home and away team will sit on, that on one side it says, parents are the number one defense. It has their Greenan logo. And then on the other side, it has Talk They Hear You. So we were able to do that. And that is permanent in those, in that gym. Those will still be there. This year, they're continuing the message. They have tablecloths that they've wanted for their other events that are indoors. They also have a unique community in the Greenan community. It is farm and also military. And so some banners were made for their hallways. And that was about 3 years ago that have the Talk They Hear You messaging, showing people from the farm community and also military. And those are still up. They have not removed those banners. They are up every year I go back. They use the Talk They Hear You with a lot of different things. And several of our schools went ahead and they would want supplies for events that they were doing, or they would want to partner on some type of activity. And we would always get that Talk They Hear You message in there. Also, iPad for their schoolwork cases were developed with the Talk They Hear You message. So we were able to do all of that with our schools. And then in our community, the phone boxes were designed with the Talk They Hear You message. And that was kind of a fun activity that we did with Texas Roadhouse. So we put the phone boxes on the tables during Mother's Day weekends, encouraging our youth to talk to their parents on Mother's Day, and the servers were given a gift card if they could get the family to all put their phones in. There was a drawing for them, and then we had two families that won the drawing for participating in the activity. So we've tried to be creative in how we're getting that message out, and those phone boxes were handed out at different events. We were able to show screenagers under the influence in our community, and we handed out the phone boxes then also. And we've got another one coming up, Screenagers Elementary, and those phone boxes will go out. We've used those materials for coalition members. We just get that message on just about everything that we can think of to get the message out.
Wow, that's amazing. And I love the win-win, right? So meeting the schools where they're at, where they definitely have a need of something that we can, you know, that you've been able to provide for them, but it also has the messaging for Talk They Hear You. That's amazing. I love hearing those win-win situations and being able to provide some much needed materials for the schools. I just love that. I just have this image of, you know, a track team hanging out underneath one of those big canopy tents. So you're providing that shelter for them while they're in the, you know, doing their events, and then also getting that messaging out. And the basketball chairs, that's really cool. The cell phone boxes. Is that more like, was that where like, it was like take a time out with your family?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Encouraging to put the phone away and communicate with your family or friends. So
that's so cool. That's really cool. So you have all these strategies, right? All these ways that you've been implementing the Talk They Hear You campaign. How are you, how are you collecting metrics or like key indicators to assess the success of the campaign in the community?
One of the ways I've already mentioned, we do that parent survey yearly, and that gives us an indication of who is seeing the message. But another way is when we do the Ohio Youth Healthy Environmental Survey, OHYES, there is a section on there that is the perception of risk for parents, whether the youth feel like their parents think something is harmful or not. So we are connecting dots. If they think that their parents think a substance is harmful, then parents are probably talking to them about it. So that's a way to collect data. And that number keeps going up, that youth perceive their parents as thinking that a substance is not healthy for them or is high risk for them. So those are two different ways that we're collecting it. And then just quantity. What are the numbers that we get out? Or how many billboards did we get out? How many impressions did we have? How many t-shirts, you know? And some of it is just conversations with people and seeing if they're seeing our messaging.
Yeah, that's a lot of work to track all of that and all of those data sources. I'm sure, too, you're probably getting information from the schools or from you mentioned in the movie theater, I think, as well. So you're getting stats and data from those companies.
You can, as well. You get the geometrics along with the impressions. So you get a lot of how many people have actually seen that video play.
The follow-up question to that. How are you kind of leveraging that information to decide how you're continuing or where you're continuing to run the messaging?
The nice thing about like the partnership with Clark County Parks and Recreation is that those signs have become permanent. And we're seeing that time after time. A lot of times our billboards stay up for quite a while too. So we get extra for our initial investment. And we specifically have with Parks and Recreation because those billboards are in key positions in our community, and they have stayed up the entire time since we've started the campaign. They are not taking them down. And the same thing with our schools. Once, you know, that like Greenan High School has had their billboard, almost junior billboard size banners up in their schools since they were made, you know, so that's a great way to get our messaging out, as opposed to a mailer that might cost as much as putting a billboard up or running a video in a movie, but it's one and done, you know, and I don't really know whether that was seen by the right person or not. Where, you know, in the movie theater, I kind of have an idea of who my audience was. And then with the geofencing, they can target certain, you know, parents with children from a certain age range. So
that's wonderful. That's fantastic. And you've kind of mentioned some of this, but I wanted to just kind of see if there were any other ways you think you'd like to share about how you've collaborated with local organizations or stakeholders to expand the reach of the campaign, or if there's any future plans to add additional schools or partners.
There's absolutely a future plan that we have been working on. And that is thanks to the School of Excellence. We received a grant from them, and we created a 2025 calendar. And on that calendar, on every page, is a Talk They Hear You picture and message relating to the season. And along with that, we've collaborated with about 8 different organizations to create a central point where our agencies that are hosting events or providing services for our youth can download the information, or a parent or a youth can go to the same location and get information about events coming up. That happens to be at our local library. So we've collaborated with them in something called a LibGuide. We worked with both our universities here in Springfield, Wittenberg, and Clark State, Promise Neighborhood, all different Nehemiah Foundation. Lots of organizations have worked together to make this happen. And we were able then to print the calendar. I don't know if you can see it, probably not, but print the calendar. And on each page, it has that picture and a QR code that directs the parent or the agency to where they can download information or get information. And it's not just about activities, it's also about services for youth. So it's a central place that we have designed just for youth in our community. So we're very excited about that. We were able to get about 6,000 copies of that out. So, and then the agencies that are helping us get it out, some are restaurants, candy store, local meeting place, banks have taken the calendars, along with schools and churches. You know, we've been able to get those calendars out in a lot of places that maybe weren't traditional, the beauty parlor or the barbershop. You know, they've gone to a lot of different places.
That's fantastic. And it speaks so much to the collective, collaborative nature of coalition work and how, you know, it really does take that group work, right, to move the needle for change in the community. So seeing and hearing all the different ways that it's grown throughout the community is really, really exciting. So as we wind down this conversation, I'd like to just give a little bit more time for you to give out some advice or recommendations for communities who are considering implementing a Talk They Hear You campaign. So one of the questions that they may be thinking about is, how have you overcome any challenges? So what were some of the challenges, or have you encountered any challenges with implementing the campaign locally? And if so, how did you work to overcome those?
I don't know that this was really a challenge, but it was kind of an interesting situation where locally, one of our organizations host a jazz festival every year. And of course, alcohol is served at the jazz festival, but they wanted us to be a part and sponsor it. And the Ohio Liquor Control Organization came in and funded us so that we could play our Talk They Hear You video at the jazz festival on the Jumbotron. So that was kind of our way of becoming involved in that, is that we were kind of the middle person between the sponsorship and the jazz festival, where we weren't really promoting the alcohol sales, but we were promoting being responsible. And we got our Talk They Hear You message in. And it was one that, you know, thank you, Dad, for talking to me that I do listen. And it mentioned, you know, the alcohol in that particular video. So that was kind of an interesting challenge, where I didn't want to fund the jazz festival, but the Ohio Liquor Control stepped in and then let us donated to us so that we could donate to the jazz festival and then play our video. So that was kind of a interesting way, I think, that we went about that, you know, because I wanted to show that we're promoting responsible serving of alcohol, but yet I wanted our message there where alcohol was going to be served.
Yet another creative way that you implemented, right, and provided messaging in the community. And then, so based on all of this experience, what advice would you give to other communities looking to effectively implement the campaign?
This message is so universal. You can use it with any of the substances, and it does, you know, highlight alcohol and underage drinking, that I would just say be consistent and keep using the same message. I veered off here and there, but I think looking back, I wish I had just consistently used this Talk They Hear You message and kept that one, you know, as my main message throughout our work in the coalition. Just be consistent with it. Don't try to recreate the wheel. There's so many good things that you can use with the Talk They Hear You messaging.
Thank you so much for that. I know our listeners will appreciate all of this information. Well, we've come to the time in the Prioritizing Prevention podcast where we get to ask you a few rapid-fire questions to close our conversation. So these questions are meant to be lighthearted and fun, so there's no stress in these. But they are a really popular segment of the podcast for our listeners as they're winding down their workday, perhaps. So given that we're working our way towards warmer weather, hopefully, right? I don't know about you, but I think I have about 6 inches of snow on the ground here. But I'm ever hopeful that we're moving in that direction. So I have some spring-themed would you rather questions for you.
Okay.
As I said, right, we're headed towards spring. And as that's starting to happen, would you rather have 2 more weeks of snow or 4 weeks of rain?
2 weeks of snow.
2 weeks of snow. Okay. And as the weather again gets warmer, we know people tend to spend a little bit more time outdoors, perhaps. So if you have a choice, would you rather visit a theme park or a state park?
State park.
State park. Do you have a favorite one?
We just got back from Hawaii, and there is a state park there that I cannot pronounce the name, but it's the refuge where the Hawaiians back in the day of the kings had to escape from if they wanted freedom. It's a beautiful place. But I don't know. I can't pronounce it.
That sounds amazing. Okay, last question. We asked this question of all of our podcast guests. So I guess I need to stay with that tradition. You're reaching into the candy dish full of M&Ms. Are you hoping for plain or peanut?
Peanut.
Peanut. Peanut it is. All right. Well, thank you, Carrie, for sharing your experience and time with us today. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion podcast, Prioritizing Prevention. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help support the podcast, please consider giving us a 5-star rating, sharing it with others, posting about it on social media, or setting the podcast to automatically download on your favorite channel. Doing so helps us reach more listeners and keeps the prevention conversation going. To catch all the latest from the center, follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, X, and Facebook at OH Prevention COE, or visit us at preventioncoe.ohio.gov and sign up for our monthly newsletter. If you missed our last podcast, it was with Dr. April Schweinhart, Senior Research Scientist at PIRE, and Riley Jones, Program Manager at Prevention First. During the conversation, we identified key aspects of strategic planning and professional development for prevention professionals. We also discussed essential skills, strategies for overcoming career challenges, and tools for professional growth to support prevention work in 2025 and beyond. This podcast was produced by Ivory Lloyd at Global Insight Productions and is supported by Dr. Angela Jong at the Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion. Thank you all for your work to get positive prevention content out into the world.
This has been the Prioritizing Prevention podcast. For more episodes, you can visit us on Spotify, YouTube, Google Play, Apple Music, and many more. This program is funded by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. For more information about us, please visit preventioncoe.ohio.gov. Thank you for listening.